Thank you for listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Any commercial advertising you may hear in this program is of the sole discretion and benefit of the host of this program you are listening to. Revolution Radio does not endorse any commercial products, nor does it accept monetary compensation for on-air advertising of commercial products, nor will it ever. We are and shall remain 100% listener supported. Any product advertising on this program are considered used at higher risk, and Revolution Radio shall not be held liable for any claims or damages received from any product advertised within this program. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps.
Recording in progress.
This is Jim Fetcher, your host on the Rocky today in Vancouver, 20. Mark, that's okay. Who will be joining me as we proceed? Meanwhile, I want to give an update. Well, this is Jim Patzer, your host on the Raw Deal, right here on Revolution Radio, Studio B, this 21st day of February, 2024. I have a special guest joining me, Anna Toledo of Targeted Justice, and look forward to introducing her to you. Meanwhile, the U.S. has vetoed another Gaza ceasefire resolution at the U.N. Security Council. I find this very puzzling. Because as recently as yesterday, there was a report that the United States was considering not vetoing the U.S. yesterday, vetoed a resolution at the Security Council calling for a humanitarian ceasefire in Gaza. It marked the third time the U.S. has used its veto power to block a call for an end to the Israeli slaughter of Palestinians. This is humiliating. This is embarrassing. This is grotesque. This is shameful. The U.S. was the only member to vote against a resolution introduced by Algeria. The U.K. abstained, and all other 13 members voted in favor. U.S. Ambassador to the U.N. Linda Thomas-Greenfield slammed the Algerian effort. Proceeding with a vote today was wishful and irresponsible, and so while we cannot support a resolution that would put sensitive negotiation in jeopardy, we look forward to engaging on attacks of what we believe will address so many of the concerns we all share, like the ongoing genocide. She claimed the resolution would disrupt U.S. effort to push for a hostage deal, but there's no sign any progress is being made. Qatar's prime minister is mediating, said over the weekend negotiations are not very promising. And Israel declined to attend the last round of in-person talks with the U.S., Qatari, and Egyptian officials. The U.S. is drafting its own resolution that calls for a temporary ceasefire if Hamas releases the hostages, which is essentially Israel's position. The U.S. resolution leaves open the possibility of Israel restarting military operations. In other words, U.S. cannot stand by and allow there to be peace. They want the slaughter to go on. The U.N. will do nothing that doesn't, the U.S. will do nothing that does not allow Israel to continue its genocide. Here is a story of a day before. U.S. changes position on Gaza ceasefire. Washington has reportedly proposed a U.N. resolution opposing Israel's planned Rafah offensive. We shall see. I believe nothing about Israel. I believe nothing about the United States. We are the world's biggest liars, phonies, frauds, prevaricators, terrorists, and genocidal maniacs on the face of Earth. Sad to say. I honorably served in the United States Marine Corps. At the time, I was very proud of my country. I cannot say that today. About 1.4 million Gazans have been displaced by Israeli bombardments in order to move them south. crammed them into Rafah, a city on the strip's southern border, with normally a population of around 280,000, but now they've been increased by well over a million. The UN has warned Israel's planned Rafah operation would have dire humanitarian consequences, as have many others. Simply disgusting. Here's a discussion, by the way, of what's going on.
It's a big week for Israel at the International Court of Justice. On Friday, Israel faces a deadline for demonstrating that they have adhered to the court's demand that they cease all genocidal activities as they block aid, threaten an invasion of Rafah, and stand by as more than a dozen ministers attend an ethnic cleansing conference. I think it's fair to say Israel has not only failed to meet its obligations, but has in fact doubled down on the cruelty and incitement that led the court to rule they are plausibly committing genocide. More on that one, though, later this week. But yesterday, another case began oral arguments in front of the ICJ, an attempt to obtain an advisory opinion that Israel's occupation of Palestine is in breach of international law and is therefore illegal. Of course, the illegality of Israel's occupation and settlement policy is kind of hardly disputed at this point. That's why Israel and her defenders are mostly arguing against this court action on technical legal grounds rather than on the merits. Israel has opted not to participate in the oral arguments at all, submitting only a written brief and denying the court's legitimacy on the question. Following Monday's hearings, a spokesperson for the Israeli Foreign Ministry released a statement saying in part that the Palestinian Authority was, quote, trying to turn a conflict that should be resolved through direct negotiations and without external impositions into a one-sided and improper legal process. They further called on Palestinians to settle the dispute through direct negotiations with Israel rather than through an appeal to international law. Of course, this statement is rather nonsensical, given that Netanyahu and his government have repeatedly made clear they have no interest in a negotiated settlement that would grant Palestinians their basic rights to self-determination. So over the course of 3 hours on Monday, the Palestinian team made the case that Israel has imposed on Palestinians the horrifying choice of, quote, ethnic cleansing, apartheid, or genocide. Furthermore, Palestine argued that the Israeli occupation violated a core tenet of the law surrounding military occupation, that it be temporary. In reality, the Israelis have made quite clear to their own people, to the Palestinians, and to the world, that they fully intend to permanently exercise full control of the entire area from the river to the sea.
That's just a wonderful report. I'm very, very pleased. Anna, if you had any interest in adding to the discussion, you'd be welcome to do so. Are you there? Apparently not. I continue, therefore. Attacks on ships and drones show that the Houthis can still fight despite U.S.-led airstrikes. Yes, even after a month of U.S.-led airstrikes, Yemen's reign-backed Houthi rebels remain capable of launching significant attacks. This week, they seriously damaged a ship in a crucial strait and downed an American drone worth tens of millions of dollars. The continued assault by the Houthis on shipping through the critical Red Sea corridor against a backdrop of Israel's war on Hamas underscores a challenge in trying to stop the guerrilla-style attacks they've used to hold on to Yemen's capital and much of the war-ravaged country's north since 2014. This report is rather incomplete and misleading insofar as the Houthis control the government of Yemen, that the nation of Yemen, controlled by the Houthis, has declared war on Israel, that they've made it very clear the only ships they are interdicting are those with cargo destined for Israel, which is in accordance with the laws of war and international law. The American attack on Yemen, by contrast, satisfies none of those conditions. It's a violation of Yemeni sovereignty. It's a violation of international law and a war crime. The campaign has boosted the Houthis standing in the Arab world. Despite their human rights abuses, I don't know about those human rights abuses. That's the kind of thing that Americans and Israelis like to make up and declare to be the problem with any country they are unhappy with. Monday, both Houthi and Western officials acknowledged one of the most serious attacks on shipping launched by the rebels. The Houthis began the targeted the Belize flag bull carrier Ruby Mar with two anti-ship ballistic missiles and one struck the vessel. The Ruby Mar reported problem with compulsion apparently became inoperable, forcing her crew to abandon. There's more going on. The Toothies, early Tuesday, released footage of what they described as a surface-to-air missile bringing down a U.S. MQ-9 Reaper drone after the course of Hodeida, Yemeni port city they hold on the Red Sea. Images of the debris, including writing in English and what seemed to be electrical equipment, appear to correspond to known pieces of the Reaper, usually used in attack missions and surveillance flights. Pentagon spokesman Sabrina Singh told journalists the Houthis had shot down the drone. Meanwhile, here we have the U.S. confirming, and this is antiwar.com, that the Houthis struck two U.S.-owned cargo ships. The U.S. has also launched more strikes against Yemen. The U.S. Central Command said the Houthis fired two missiles at the Sea Champion, a Greek-flying but U.S.-owned grain carrier, causing minor damage. It headed to its destination of Aden, Yemen. The Houthis also fired a drone at the Nevis Fortuna, Marshall Islands flag U.S.-owned bulk carrier, causing minor damage. From Monday night into Tuesday morning, CENTCOM said U.S. and allied warship downed 10 Houthi drones. These drones, by the way, are relatively inexpensive, can be produced in large quantities, and turn out to be highly effective. In fact, modern warfare is being transformed by the development, the innovation of these drones. The Houthis have made it clear they will only stop their attacks on shipping, I must add here, destined for Israel, once the Israeli onslaught in Gaza comes to an end. The U.S. bombing campaign has only escalated the situation as the Houthis were not targeting American or British shipping before the U.S. and U.K. launched the first round of strikes on Yemen on January 12th. As I say, it's the U.S. and the U.K. who are violating the law, not the Houthis. I'm very pleased to have with me Anna Tornado from Targeted Justice. Anna, if you have any comments you'd like to make on these international developments, you're pleased to do so.
I just cannot understand how people that complain of atrocities that were done to them decades ago are perpetrating the same or worse on innocent people and children and women. And that's all I have to say. I just don't understand it. It's my heart doesn't allow me, my heart and my mind doesn't allow me to understand how, you know, what you have been preaching for so long, you are perpetrating on innocent people.
Anna Toledo, as I mentioned earlier, represents Targeted Justice, and we're going to have an extended conversation after we review the latest news. Meanwhile, George Washington law professor Jonathan Turley has ripped apart the weaponization of the law against former President Trump in the New York fraud decision, noting how unusual was the application of the statute, especially given there were no victims and no one lost anything. He noted the fine was more than $455 million with interest, and that the people, the victims, wanted to do more business with Trump, that they made a lot of money. Usually awards are based on damage sustained. This decision is completely unhinged on that basis. In an article about the decision, he called the fine greater than the gross national product of some countries. He also said that people were now prevented from doing business with Trump as they wanted because of the decision. He noted how the law had not been applied before in such a case. The New York statute has been on the books for decades, has always been something of an anomaly in not requiring an actual victim or loss to justify disgorgement or fines. Even the New York Times agreed it could not find a single case in history where this statute was used against an individual or a company that did not commit a criminal offense, go bankrupt, or leave financial victims. On top of that, Turley noted the poison pill. In order to appeal such an unfair decision, Trump would have to come up with a full amount or a bond covering it just to appeal within 30 days. Get this. under New York law, Trump cannot appeal this ruling without depositing the full amount, including interest, in a court account, even for Trump. $455 million is hard to come by. Likewise, a bond would require a company guaranteed payment for a defendant who's been barred from doing business in New York and is facing the need to liquidate much of his portfolio. Nothing succeeds like excess for judges like Ergeron. By imposing this astronomical figure, he can make it difficult or impossible for a defendant to appeal absent declaring bankruptcy or selling off assets at distressed prices. I'm on the air, Wolfgang. I'll call you back, but you don't need to send it to me. I'll call you back. The judge's order also forbids Trump from borrowing from any financial institution chartered or registered in New York for 3 years. So he can't even borrow to pay any of it from any bank in New York, an additional unfair aspect. So who's going to issue a bond under such risky conditions? Turley noted the decision shocked the conscience of anyone concerned about the integrity and fairness of the New York legal system. Many, including investors like Kevin O'Leary and Grant Cardone, blasted the decision, saying it would adversely affect anyone who might have wanted to invest in New York and that they would now go elsewhere. Both said they would no longer invest in New York. Governor Kathy Hochul, trying to save the day in a futile effort, claimed business people had nothing to worry about. This only applied to Trump. Turley pointed out how that's part of the problem. The best politician like Hochul and Adams can offer, Adams being the mayor of New York City, is you have nothing to fear from confiscatory actions unless you are Trump in New York, which is precisely why this decision should be overturned. What is clear is that case would never have been brought, let alone result in a massive fine except for politics. For example, if you are the NRA, James will seek your destruction. That's Letitia James, the Attorney General in New York, for financial irregularities. But if you're Black Lives Matter or Al Sharpton, National Action Network, there's little real risk in such controversies. If the only protection in New York is the discretion of figures like Letitia James, few businesses would relish the future. The message is that you can expect blind and equal justice so long as you don't run afoul of the Democrats in power. Very, very troubling. Business people, of course, would never know if they might come out on the wrong side of the Democrats, which is a very antithesis of the rule of law. Trump attorney and spokesperson Alina Habba was still defiant, saying they would come up with a bond while calling out how disgraceful it was. What they are trying to do is put them out of business. It's not going to work. It's a scare tactic, but they're picking on the wrong guy. Listen to a bit of Jonathan Turley speaking directly.
Yeah, part of the disconnect here is that you have what will be over $455 million if you include interest. And then on the other side of the ledger, you have zero. There's not a single dollar lost by these victims. In fact, the people that James calls the victims actually wanted to do more business with Donald Trump. They said they made a lot of money and they viewed him as a whale client. They wanted more loans with him.
Anna, have you been following the Trump case? I mean, it's so staggeringly bad and inappropriate. They went after him for allegedly inflating the value of Mar-a-Lago. They gave it a very modest value, around, I don't know, $30 million. All the real estate experts say it's worth $200 or $300 million minimally. There are experts in the field. They know how to appraise this. The judge just ignored him, set his own value. The banks, in fact, that granted the loans have their own experts to do their own assessment. They were satisfied with the collateral. They made the loans. They got the interest. They were fat and happy. I think that Turley's got it exactly right. This is punitive because of politics. Your thoughts?
Well, I think that's what the Fifth Amendment is about, that you cannot be deprived of property, and the Sixth Amendment and the process without an opportunity to have valid evidence, not allowing him to to take loans from banks is definitely a, for me, a violation of Fifth Amendment. I think that New York has become a dangerous place for people to do business. Yes. And the governor said pretty much, no, this is only, we're singling out Trump. She pretty much confirmed it by saying it, this only applies to him. Business owners should not be afraid because we're only doing it to him.
The trouble is that, the trouble is that's too little too late. Everyone's got the message. If you run afoul of the Democrats, they can do you in at a vicious and unprincipled fashion. Jonathan Turley may be my favorite commentator. Yes, go ahead, Anna Moore.
No, I don't have. I just think it, people are seeing that there are two set of laws, and it's not, they're not being fairly applied. That's what I think. I just think it's very sad for all of us, especially attorneys. We want to make sure that it's the same law applied to everybody equally, you know, regardless of who you are.
Absolutely. If that isn't the bedrock of American society and our culture, I do not know what is. Meanwhile, a presidential historian has revealed Jill Biden is the reason Joe is running again. She likes power and wants revenge. Douglas Brinkley, author of The Unfinished President, told CBS News Face the Nation Sunday, Jill Biden has done the exact opposite of what other first ladies have done. He noted both former President Harry Truman and Lyndon Johnson decided to leave office because their wives told them they didn't want to serve a second term. She is the vital part. Dr. Jill Biden is it, he said. You know, if you go back to 1952, Harry Truman could have run and he didn't. Why? Well, the Korean War, other reason, but best, Truman wanted to go back to Independence, Missouri. She didn't like it in Washington. If you got to 68, Lyndon Johnson was, couldn't march in 68. People say because of Walter Cronkite. No. The big thing was his health was bad. He had a bad heart, smoking, high blood pressure, tension. Lady Bird didn't want to stay in Washington. She wanted to go back to Texas and convinced him. The fact he was going to confront a humiliating defeat by Bobby Kennedy, I think, was perhaps more important in the case of LBJ. But that's not the case with Jill Biden. She likes power. She wants to stay. She wants some sense of revenge, he continued. She teaches in Virginia Community College, the milieu around our building here. This is her home. And the idea of relinquishing it after you've taken the slings and arrows of the last years of attacks, and at the last minute, just when you get all the delegates, you're going to say, I'm going to open it up to a bunch of people. It's very childish when you read those kinds of reports. Here he is on Face the Nation.
For some historical context on this President's Day weekend, we're joined now by Douglas Brinkley. He's a presidential historian and the author of many books, including The Unfinished Presidency. And we're joined by Amy Parnes, a national political reporter. Her latest book, co-authored with John Allen Lucky, chronicles President Biden's 2020 campaign. It's so great to have both of you here. I love reflecting on the presidency, President's Day weekend. And Doug, we'll begin with you. You are close with former President Jimmy Carter. You've written a wonderful book about his unfinished presidency after he left the White House. He's now down in Plains, and it's a year ago today, former President Carter entered hospice care, and a year later, he is still with us. Tell us about what you know from the Carter family, how he's doing. I know it's a tough year, and what his presidency means.
Well, you know, it is tough when you're 99, but Carter has a lot of will. He's alert and eating and has an ability to understand what's going on around him. And I'm hoping he makes it till October 1st, 2024, so we have Jimmy Carter at 100 years old and we can celebrate. He's kind of beat cancer before, but he's focused on eradication of guinea worm disease that used to ravage, you know, over 20 African countries. And he knows they're very close to doing away with that horrible disease. And he's been the progenitor of that effort. And he still has a cognizant about that As for who he is, he's looking better and better every day in history, because you pull back and look at that one term and you see the Camp David Peace Accord, Egypt and Israel. Look at what we have now. Environmental front, he put as much land as the state of Alaska, of California aside, in Alaska. And that's only going to grow when climate happens, all that he saved. He injected human rights into our diplomatic parlance. He's the person who recognized the People's Republic of China, not Nixon officially. And the Panama Canal Treaty, the list goes on and on. He created FEMA, Department of Energy, Superfund sites. So on paper, you look at all of this and you say it's a remarkable one-term president who, by the way, is going out with the love of the world, a Nobel Peace Prize, and his integrity intact.
Let me say, Anna,
context on this President's Day week.
Anna, that Jimmy Carter looks like a virtuoso, a veritable George Washington compared to Joe Biden. I mean, for goodness sake, your thoughts.
I know. And he has survived the vaccine, which to me is miraculous, because I really think that a lot of people, I mean, I can tell you from the experience back home, in each municipality, there's an average of 6 people dying per day that got 3 shots or more. So he is a walking miracle, because not only because of his age, but because he got vaccinated.
Yes, yes, yes. Maybe we'll squeeze in one more news story before we turn to targeted justice. Joe Rogan reveals here that 2024 Democrat nominee is really going to be, if I had to guess, it's just speculation, I'd say they're setting up Gavin Newsom. He thinks they're going to replace Biden. The other predictions I have after Super Tuesday, Biden's going to step down. He's been dogged by questions about his mental acuity since before the presidency. Those concerns have reached a fever pitch, with Special Counsel Robert Hur released his report describing Biden as a sympathetic, well-meaning elderly man with a poor memory. You got about 5 minutes.
I have to warn you, the criminals are really
we're still going out. We're still, you know.
You're listening to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Everything's good. Go yell it. Make your host so you can do a screen sharing.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately,
and it's been a problem with
free
the
speech has
view,
never been
I'm not
free.
Hearing them now.
We need
we
the
ought to be hearing
the
people. You know, the
it
break
is the people like report. You, yes,
go ahead.
You,
set you
that
up.
Keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in a dark world.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution
There you go.
Hey, everyone. It's Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
Can you see me? Okay.
Yes. Very good.
Much better. Okay. I have to have this just in case.
Okay.
Because they are.
Okay. We're still going out. So in about 2 minutes, I think I'll be able to tell when we should come back in. You've already done it, Evan?
I have done screen share. I'm just trying to get the participation on my screen so that I can do the screen share.
Join Revolution Radio every Wednesday, 8 p.m. Eastern Time on Studio B for Momentary Zen with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Otherwise, we can do a couple more stories.
We're being shadow banned so badly that
I'm not surprised. Yes,
it's the truth is coming out, and the problem is there's a lot of private enterprise.
So you cannot screen share, is that right?
Yes, I can. I think I can.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Good. Well. This is Jim Fetzer explaining that I have a problem connecting with a studio, so I'm not hearing the break, and I'm having to guess when to come back on with my special guest today, Anna Toledo of Targeted Justice, which, from all I can discern, is doing quite an important service on behalf of the community. Anna, why don't you begin by telling us about Targeted Justice?
Yes. Thank you. Thank you for having me here. Yes, Targeted Justice was founded in 2017, and it grouped leaders that were determined to end what is called unofficially the program. The program is a CIA-run operation, human experimentation, that many of you might be part of it and you don't even know it. Because 75% of the people on this program are not tortured sufficiently as to know it. And so that Targeted Justice is a 501c3 corporation in Texas, from Texas. And we also have a Substack newsletter where we publish, you know, the updates on the battles that we're doing to free all targeted individuals.
Very, very good. And when you speak of targeted individuals, can you be specific about exactly what it entails? Who is being targeted? How are they being targeted? What techniques are being used? Does this include, for example, directed energy weaponry? A dear friend and colleague, Catherine Horton, who's, you know, earned a PhD at Oxford in particle physics, has been leading an international legal effort for targeted individuals who have been hit with directed energy weapons. Does your organization, Targeted Justice, encompass efforts of that kind, for example?
Certainly. We have, first of all, what is a targeted individual? It's a person chosen by the deep state to be part of this human experimentation program, where the goal of the program, it's got various goals. One is to punish dissidents, punish whistleblowers, punish anybody that doesn't go with a mainstream narrative. That's number one. Number two is also to decipher what it is that within the realm of the 64 personalities, what is it that makes you bend, go on your knees, take your own life, because this human experimentation is for mind control, and also to determine what are those things that make you break. Then there's one third of the population in the world is highly suggestible, and they can be, you know, easily mind controlled. And this is how these government criminals that carry out this program, they want to decipher how to control the other two-thirds that are not so easily controllable. And that's where you and I fit in, the ones that are very, very hard to mind control. So, yes, targeted justice, there are many aspects to the targeting of individuals. As I have mentioned to you before, 75% of the people in this program don't even know it. They just have occasional bad luck. They just wake up in the morning feeling a little rusty and they think, well, it's I'm becoming old. No, it's called microwaves. And you, while you sleep, you might be getting microwaved. And there's an easy way to figure it out, which is, as I had say to everybody, cup your ears for 60 seconds in a very silent place, and you will start hearing some pops. And those are the microwave pops and also the artificial tinnitus. 83% of targeted individuals develop artificial tinnitus. And that is from the tracking that is done 24/7. Through the top of our heads, and by Shriver's Air Force, you know, the people in the U.S. Space Force that are located in the Shriver's Air Force Base. So, directed energy weapon attacks, that's what, you know, the general malaise of your body. Some people get really bad, painful attacks, like, for example, Dr. Lambert, he gets attacked in his head very severely, very painfully. And while those attacks are going on, this is where the torture really kicks in. There is also called the microwave auditory effect, that for those of you that think that it's fantastical and it's made up, well, you know, the Professor James Lynn from University of Chicago, I believe, wrote a book on auditory effects of microwave radiation. This is a patented technology. And it's voices in your head. They can transmit voices of people you know. For example, if a person has a voice, just call many have told me that they hear my voice telling them messages like, kill yourself. So you can finish end this now. Well, Dr. Bear, as they pummel him, you know, they give him atrocious messages through his V2K. The purpose of the program is for you to surrender and kill yourself. So yeah, this that's called voice to. It's known as voice to call. It is a microwave weapon, just like the microwave attacks done on our bodies. And what might totally shock you is that it's been perpetrated on children. There are generational targeted individuals and children as young as 3 years of age. We have been able to detect that the voices speak to them. And so this is all being funded. It's a black project. It's a special access project, and it's being funded by American taxpayer money.
Of course. American taxpayer money is paying for the slaughter of Palestinians in Gaza. American taxpayer money is paying for a fruitless war against Russia and the Ukraine. American taxpayer money is being used to fund the massive migrant invasion, and it is outrageous that our government has sunk to this level of corruption unprecedented in American history. I am so overwhelmed by how low this once great country has sunk. I can only hope for its redemption, but the signs are not obvious. Give us further thoughts. And if you want, would you like to make a presentation about targeted justice?
Yes, I can do the share screen with, let me see if we can share the screen. Oh, it's disabled. The host has disabled. You need to enable the screen sharing so that I can share the presentation. Because, you know, as you know, it's, you know, I think it's something like 90% that gets into our brain gets through the vision. Okay, let me try to share the screen now. Okay, here. Let me share this. And
yes.
Yes.
You might want to put it on, you know, full screen. Yeah.
From beginning. There we go. Okay, so the program, this is how the people in the government refer to it. The program is the United States' largest ongoing crime against humanity. In many of you very well-educated people know that from 1953 to 1966, the CIA ran the MK Ultra program, which was a human experimentation project where they would even put people to sleep for a whole month. They did atrocious things, administered drugs, etc. And then the church committee came along and supposedly investigated and stopped it, except that not a single person went to jail. Not a single person was held accountable criminally for destroying the lives of so many people. Then you have the FBI program, the COINTELPRO, which is ran from supposedly 1956 to 71, but it's the former director of the FBI, Louis Free, admitted that the FBI did many criminal things in that program. It was a Stasi program of spying, surveillance, and persecution of dissidents. And this is very close to my heart, because in Puerto Rico, everybody that was pro-independence, that had pro-independence inclinations, not that I agree with them, but were persecuted by the FBI and ended up in a huge class action lawsuit that was not filed against the FBI. It was filed against the governor, but people were compensated very little amounts of money compared to what they suffered. But this program was carried out against the people of Puerto Rico by the FBI. And now what they did is that they merged MK Ultra and COINTELPRO into the program that we have today. Our numbers, you know, Targeted Justice has over 4,000 members. We have subscription of 13,000 in Substack, the newsletter. And we have been able to carry out a lot of surveys internally. And our numbers tell us that it's a hate crime, because 2/3 of the people are women. And recently we did a poll within our newsletter readers, and it turns out that over 70% are 50 or over. So what this means is that the government is targeting older women, particularly women, but older people, to pretty much do away with them. That's what we can interpret from the data we have. For each targeted liberal person we have, there are 5 conservatives. 62% of them have the V2K. They do a menu of torture according to their, I guess, personalities or whatever they decide to do on the person. And out of these 62% that have the microwave effect, over 2/3 are men. And I really believe the reason for that is that, you know, men are harder to break than women. And that's why they have to, you know, do it more. I know that this is an atrocious torture, because imagine having voices saying outrageous things 24/7. I'm going to give you two horrible examples. One of them is even deaf people hear these voices. Second of all, it's not a mental illness, because mental illness defined as, let's say, psychosis or schizophrenia. I'm not a doctor, but I read Dr. John Hall's book, Guinea Pigs, and he specifically explains it happens in the decade of the 20s within men and women. And so, I'm going to tell you a terrible story of a woman with Down syndrome in Ohio who is a generational TI. She's 34 years old, and her mother was originally targeted because she was a whistleblower. And these criminals put her to sleep out of sheer exhaustion, because they torment her all night with these voices. This is very real. 67% of targeted individuals have lost their jobs.
Anna, if I might interrupt, what is the objective of tormenting people like this? I mean, these are ordinary citizens for the most part. And it's just difficult, I think, for the average American to wrap their mind around what in the world is going on here. Could you elaborate just a bit on the motivation?
Well, let me tell you, I was targeted for over 20 years before I realized I was targeted. So I can tell you, that in my case, I thought, well, this is the deck of cards that was dealt to me, and I have to deal with it. I thought it was, you know, I just had bad luck, you know, a fake cancer, whatever. But when you have so many people telling you the same story, the same pattern of conduct. You have the mic. When you go into the Targeted Justice website, you see actual pictures of microwave burns and people. And you ask why. Well, I don't know if you recall Hunter Biden telling that Chinese businessman, "I know how to hold a grudge for a lifetime." And I think that what he meant with that is that I will put you in this program and you will regret it for life. This is a mechanism of retaliation against dissidents, against whistleblowers. I was, for example, I practiced environmental law. I denounced environmental criminals. And those were the first ones to put me in this program, okay? Because the idea is to, number one, deter whistleblowers, to deter, as Mr. O'Rourke said before Congress, they will come after you and they will destroy you. And even Mr. O'Rourke doesn't realize he's targeted. This is one of the FBI whistleblowers that was in Congress. He doesn't realize because they don't have the level of clearance to know about the program. Okay, you have to have a very high clearance to know about this program because a normal special agent, they are just motivated to put people, and I'm going to go into that now, in the terrorist screening database to classify them as domestic terrorists so that they will be placed in these two secret categories of the terrorist screening database, which people do the misnomer. Watchlist is only part of the terrorist screening database. And I'm going to talk about it a little bit further. So you ask why? Well, there are many reasons. Retaliation. Many of the people we have, over my plaintiffs, some of them had a very bad divorce and their husbands were very well connected with the appropriate people to nominate them to this list. We have an Office of Inspector General of the Department of Justice report 08/16 that states that the FBI field offices are violating agency regulation by nominating directly people to the terrorist screening database. So what that means is that special agents have the capacity of nominating people to this terrorist screening database without following agency procedures. That is a huge thing, because when you take that coupled with the abuse of FISA Section 702, when you have the 200,000 assessments that FBI admitted doing on Americans is none other than targeted individuals. And many of the people listening to this broadcast, I am certain, are targeted individuals and don't even know it. And for those of you that want to find out, well, I can tell you later how, there's many ways that you can find out if, in fact, you are a targeted individual or not. It's nothing to be scared of, because we are doing a huge targeted justice is doing a legal battle, and we're not going to stop until we shut it down. Does that answer your question,
Jim? Well, I think it's fascinating that 67% of targeted individuals are unemployed, that 14% are homeless. This is bizarre. Anna, why would you be targeting people who are homeless or unemployed?
No. They become unemployed.
Ah! They become unemployed because they've been targeted.
Yes. They become homeless because they lose their financial.
Yes.
Look, Jim, for the grace of God, I am here in Texas, which I say now it's going to be the new birthplace of freedom. And I am telling you, I am a very accomplished attorney. I was very successful. I worked 7 days a week. But the way this program is that they start alienating you from the rest of society. I have one of our volunteers has got to be the most talented graphic artist I've seen. And he is unemployed because they shut the doors on you. They are currently, one of my plaintiffs was fired. One of our volunteers was fired from their jobs. These are exceptional workers, intelligent, talented, hardworking, resilient, and yet they are out of nowhere fired from their jobs. These are not just,
The homeless people, they choose like that. These are people that are driven to homelessness.
Yes, I get it now. Unbelievable. Absolutely staggering.
And a lot of veterans also, Veterans Today, which is a very good online publication, last year published an article, you know, saying, you know, it's out of the bag. The targeting program is very real. See, many of these vets hear voices and they think they're crazy. And it's not that they're crazy. The day we shut down these weapons that are being fired from Free Reserve, from the Space Force, people's minds will go silent. This is huge, because then that's when people will realize that they weren't crazy, that they were being tortured. I'm going to give you another example. A very dear friend of mine wrote a scathing book on a Puerto Rico oligarch. Within 2 weeks, she started hearing voices. And she was hospitalized twice. She was deprived of her freedom twice. And she's called crazy now, psychosis. Even she didn't know that it was a torture tactic. She's a dear woman, brilliant, nice, giving, good friend, you know. So I'm telling you what they do. And for example, in Florida, there is a huge danger. You have a baker, even though Florida is supposed to be, you know, a freedom place, you have a Baker Act, which a policeman can put you in a 72-hour hold in a mental hospital. And that's when you get injected, you know, you can get implanted, you can get... And basically, they want to do away with your credibility, Jim. What they want to do is, by placing you in a mental hospital, by calling you crazy, they want to put you in a mental hospital. But let me continue with my presentation, because I'm going to show you how this is not made up. You know, how scary can it get? Well, the Homeland Security Presidential Directive that created the terrorist screening database, which is, as I said, sometimes erroneously referred to as the watch list, said that you had told the FBI, authorized the FBI, they consolidated 14 terrorist lists that were spread around many agencies, and they consolidated them into the terrorist screening center. And they said you can only place on that list people that have known or appropriately suspected to be engaging in terrorist activity. So far, so good, right? So those are handling codes 1 and 2. But through the discovery carried out by attorney Ghadir Abbas in the El Haiti versus Cable case, a case that was in the Fourth Circuit in the Eastern District of Virginia, well, in that case, we did a lot of discovery, and we found out that there are two hidden categories called handling codes 3 and 4. And the terrorist screening center director, former director, deputy director of the FBI, Mr. Timothy Groh, admitted what I have here in the screen, admitted it under a penalty of perjury. The TASDB, commonly referred as the watchlist, contains the identifying information of known and suspected terrorists. Then he goes on to the footnote that says, and then additionally, the TSDB includes identifying information of certain individuals who are not categorized as known as or suspected terrorists. These limited exceptions, they're not limited. I'll show you how not limited they are, to the reasonable suspicion standard, which is the required standard to put you on a criminal, on a terrorist list, which is an echelon below probable cause, exists for the sole purposes of supporting certain screening functions of DHS and State Department. These people are not considered known and suspected terrorists and are not screened as such. And here's the importance of it. When I travel, I never encounter problems. And the reason they did it this way is so that people on these handling codes 3 and 4 never find out that they are on the terrorist screening database, okay? And they are put in here under secret criteria. Look at this. This is a sworn statement by Samuel Robinson, another FBI official of the terrorist screening center. These individuals are not considered known and suspected terrorists, and they must not be disclosed the criteria
under which they are listed here must not be disclosed. It's secret. There's nothing more un-American than this. Nothing.
Yes.
And so when you look at, this is a Department of Justice graph. Okay? I didn't make this. I took this from a Department of Justice audit report. So when you look in there, handling codes one, which is the known terrorists, is 0.18%. Handling code two, 0.11%. Then handling codes three and four, which are the exceptions that are placed there under secret criteria, those are 97% of the people in the terrorist screening database. Those are people that are on a terrorist screening database and are not informed of it, are not screened at airports, are not considered a terrorist threat. So you have to ask yourself, if they are not a terrorist threat to national security, what are they do? Are their names doing on a terrorist screening database?
Yes, yes, yes. Wow.
We estimate that there's 400,000 targeted individuals in the United States, 6 million around the world. We have people in Malaysia, in Australia, in Brazil, in Peru, in Mexico, Europe. And so we estimate that since handling code four is the lighter targeting, a lot of people, it's likely that 300,000 Americans or more are targeted and they don't even know it. I don't know if you listened to the Tucker interview of Mr. Benz that talked about the intelligence community and the shadow banning in social media of people that engage in certain kinds of debates. That was last week. Did you hear about that?
Tell us about it more, Anna. I don't know that I did.
I urge everybody to look it up. Tucker interviewed Mr. Benz, who is in this organization that is, you know, for freedom of speech and fighting shadow banning. And he talked about how the development of the government's control of what is done, what is posted in social media, and how people are flagged. People that engaged in the debate of the stolen election, people that engaged in the debate of anti-vax scenes, well, they were flagged. Their content was flagged, and they were flagged. And this is just how the FBI is justifying increasing their budget, because a lot of people are being classified that they don't get the reasonable suspicion.
And we'll be right back.
Friend, the whistleblower that has the press conference and has been fighting about this everywhere says,
was it a conspiracy? Did you know that the police in Boston were broadcasting, "This is a drill, this is a drill," on bullhorns during the marathon? That the Boston Globe was tweeting that a demonstration bomb would be set off during the marathon for the benefit of bomb squad activities? And that one would be set off in 1 minute in front of the library, which happened as the Globe had announced. Peering through the smoke, you could see bodies with missing arms and legs. But there was no blood. The blood only showed up later and came out of a tube. They used amputee actors and a studio-quality smoke machine. Don't let yourself be played.
And we cannot hear it.
And nobody died in Boston either. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
We'll continue with this fascinating discussion.
If you think for 1 second that the Capitol will ever treat us fairly, you are lying to yourselves. Because we know who they are and what they do. This is what they do, and we must fight back. You can torture us and bomb us. Fire is catching. And if we burn, you burn with us.
Good evening.
Are you awake yet? I hope. We've tried and we've tried for years and years to use passive resistance.
and loud voices to make a change. The time is over. Your governments around the world have no other goal than to decimate your entire existence at the hands of the bankers and the elites. The war is coming, and it's your choice to decide if you want to be a warrior or a victim. Denial is not a choice anymore. Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Not giving up. Revolution Radio.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates. You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
This is Jim Fetzer, your host on The Raw Deal, where once again I explain I'm not hearing communication with a studio, so I'm guesstimating that we're back on the air. I'm here with Anna Toledo, an attorney with Targeted Justice, who's giving us a background. And I wanted to ask, I mean, this is outrageous for America to be put on a terrorist list and not even informed they're being put on a terrorist list, much less the reasons why they're being put on a terrorist list. As you observe, this is as un-American as it gets. And I'm just going to conjecture that the ordinary Americans who at the Ellipse rally where Donald Trump spoke and then who may have, you know, visited the Capitol as innocent civilians, they're almost certainly on the terrorist list. It's been my belief that one of the reasons for fabricating that event was to emphasize the concept of a domestic terrorist so that if, for example, martial law were declared, that they could then round up domestic terrorists, and because they're terrorists, they don't deserve a trial. They could even be subject to summary execution. This is an apprehension I have, and while most Americans might think that that's far-fetched, I'm sorry to say it's the sort of thing that happened following the Bolshevik Revolution. Millions of Russians were rounded up and shot execution style because they were suspected of being terrorists when all they were was ordinary Russians who might have been not sufficiently enthusiastic about what had just taken place with their government. Similar here, as I see it. Your thoughts?
I know firsthand of some J6ers that are being processed that within 2 weeks of being in solitary confinement, they started hearing the voices. This is technology. How do you think the United States Armed Forces has admitted they use this weapon, they call it the voice of God, to tell enemy combatants in the Middle East, put allies telling you to put down your weapons. That's how they were able to win in 30 days Desert Storm. And this is documented historically. So, you know, this is very real. Technology in the hands of the United States Space Force is being used and deployed. A military-grade weaponry is being deployed against innocent Americans. And this should outrage everybody, even if you're not targeted. Because, like I said before, children are being tortured. And we don't even know the long-term effects. You know, Havana syndrome, which is really the real name now for it, is non-kinetic brain injury. Havana syndrome is nothing but the product of being microwaved for at least 6 months on. So when they, everybody talks about not knowing the, its origins, the National Academies of Science and Math and Engineering, they did recognize that is microwave pulsations, the likely cause of the Havana syndrome. So those people in that embassy, what really they were just microwaved. And that is happening to targeted individuals. And that was what, you know, Dr. Hoffer diagnosed Dr. Lambert as the first civilian that was diagnosed with Havana syndrome. So this is very real. It's affecting our brains. It affects your cognitive abilities. You know, you seem to forget. You're like, oh, I'm getting Alzheimer's. No, maybe it's that you're being microwaved. And so it's being done also to the developing brain of children. And if this is not torture, I don't know what is. So as I mentioned, you know, that this all these people that are in these secret, because it's secret categories of this terrorist screening database. Lara Loomer had she made a post in Twitter a few months ago about somebody that was stopped by the police, and the body cam recorded how the police said, oh, look, terrorist screening database. I had never seen it. But then it said, you know, don't tell the person. We have the documents that are given away to, you know, the instructions to the police departments everywhere in the nation. Do not tell people in handling codes 3 and 4 that they are on the list. However, look around for evidence, you know, kind of going on a fishing expedition against them. This list is given away to 18,000 state, federal, and tribal law enforcement, to 60 countries or more around the world, to over 532 corporations of the biggest ones in the United States, and 1,440 organizations. And the important is this, let me tell you, some of our members, some of the targeted individuals are prohibited. They can fly, but they are prohibited from sending money through, you know, this wire transfer, $300, $200 to a friend. Just this past month, one of our volunteers and advisory board members was denied purchasing 2 beds from an online store. That same advisory board member who gets on planes without being screened as a terrorist, she got kicked out of a short-term rental 3 days after she had been staying, 3 or 5 days after she had been staying in it, because she was called a danger, a threat. So these being placed on these secret categories impacts the daily lives of targeted individuals. They are surveyed, they are followed, their communications, you know, my computer is constantly hacked, and we have no privacy, absolutely no privacy. There's financial incentive in turning the United States into a Stasi state. You have that private enterprise is engaged in the practice of targeting people, of, you know, getting nominations, evaluating, getting the information to put people on the TSCB or to, you know, do the nominations. This, I didn't make this up. I got it from Indeed, from, you know, and there's an inherent conflict of interest when you delegate to private enterprise the law enforcement or intelligence work, because they have an incentive. The more people they target, the more they get paid. So it's really completely un-American and in violation of the due process rights to notice and to have the opportunity to controvert any evidence against you before you are deemed a criminal. Because let me tell you, this list is disseminated through the National Crime Information Center, Just like the sexual offender list is disseminated, just like the violent gang members list is disseminated, this is how innocent Americans are being labeled suspected terrorists in these two secret categories, are being defamed by the United States government. Not just tortured, but defamed. There have been hundreds of cases for the people that in category three that get the voice to call and that get the surveillance, that they get followed. You know, these people, over 300 cases have gotten dismissed in federal district courts because they have many things in common. Many of them are pro se. They don't have, either they don't have the funds or no attorney wants to represent them. They are dismissed in unpublished opinions. I have found them because of Westlaw. Many of them file, they can't even afford the $400 fee to file because they have been impoverished by this program. Let me tell you, Jim, I have a house in my home that I rented in Old San Juan. They put a criminal to live in there. And I lived off the rental of that property, right? Because I wanted to dedicate myself to investigate corruption and fight environmental crimes. Well, they put a criminal in there that destroyed my house, made it not rentable, destroyed the plumbing, destroyed the electricity, and that was my source of income. So this is how these, and with absolute impunity, when I went to the police, they said, no, that's a civil case. You know, these people act with absolute impunity, and the goal is to say it's plausibly deniability. So as to make the person that they're making stuff up, okay? Most of these cases are dismissed before defendants are even made to reply. And they are dismissed as fantastical, delusional, implausible, bizarre. No imposition of sanctions, however, is made, even though, as you know, when you file a frivolous case, you are supposed to be sanctioned by the court. Now, we filed, this is, you know, TJ v. Garland is the case that we filed in the Southern District of Texas. And it's based on uncontroverted facts and admissions, because it comes from audit reports of the Terrorist Screening Data Center, just like the graph I showed you. You know, we sought a national injunction to declare unconstitutional Handling Codes 3 and 4, where innocent Americans, without reasonable suspicion of engaging in a terrorist offense, are placed secretly and under secret criteria. I cannot think of anything more un-American and undemocratic than that and unconstitutional. So that's the primary goal we're seeking, and declaratory judgment and also damages for the plaintiffs. The court also concluded that it was fantastical, although 80% of the complaint is based, as I said, in controverted facts. One interesting aspect of it is that we filed on January 11, 2023, and 2 weeks later, the director of the Terrorist Screening Center that had been the director of the Terrorist Screening Center since 2017, suddenly decided to retire. Mr. Charles Cable is responsible. Under Charles Cable, 43% of targeted individuals report that are in surveys. This is a survey of over 2,000 people. Well, 43% report that they were targeted on 2017 on from that date, whereas the other 57% are from previous years, and 20% of those report that it was before 2003, before the terrorist screening database. So we're talking 37% were targeted from 2004 to 2016. When you do the math, you realize that Mr. Cable was very efficient in placing a lot of innocent people on this terrorist database. Our ultimate goal is no names, no targets. If the Shivers Air Force Base doesn't get the identities of these people through a terrorist screening center number, they don't have a target to fire their weapon at, and DHS, which runs the fusion centers, which in turn partners with citizen corps to go send their minions like vigilantes after targeted individuals to make their lives difficult. You know, I would get three screws inserted into my tires per year. 1 year, my car was in the car dealership for 180 days damaged, broken. So these are things that you say, oh, plausible deniability. No, when you have five of these things happen to you in a single month, and you can look it up in my, I have a Substack and AnnaToledo.com. I have a list of, if five of these things happen to you in a single month, because they can happen to anybody, but if you get at least five of them happen to you in a single month, you better look into the possibility that you are targeted. We are very hopeful right now. The Supreme Court held an oral argument in FBI versus FICRE, which is a case that is challenging the due process of the lack of the process of getting nominated to the watch list, which I repeat, don't let yourself be confused. The terror screening database is not a watch list. The watch list is only handling codes 1 and 2, the minimum part of it. Most of it, really, of the TSDB are targeted individuals. We have pending the oral argument in TJ v. Garland. There's also Kovac v. Ray, another oral argument pending before the Fifth Circuit. And this one is very interesting because Mr. Abbas is challenging the major questions rule. And in light of the recent Supreme Court holding eliminating the Chevron rule or limiting it, I think this is going to be very interesting for the Fifth Circuit, because what what the plaintiffs in this case are presenting is this: the Dallas District Court, District Court for Dallas, concluded that being placed on the terror screening database affects many aspects of your life. You know, you are denied jobs, you are denied clearance, and you sometimes may be denied opening a bank account. So the court, Northern District of Texas District Court, concluded that it does affect many aspects of your life. And based on that, Mr. Kovac is challenging in the Fifth Circuit, saying, well, the major question rule comes into play because when something affects many aspects of your life, it cannot come from an executive order. It has to come from Congress. And Congress has not passed legislation enacting the terror screening database. And it's a very interesting case, and the oral argument is set tentatively for March. The FBI FICRE and Peter's Intelligence Committee, I don't know if you're aware that in December they came out with a report saying, if this is a mistake, it's not labeled as a threat. It's titled mislabeled as a threat. They have very scathing conclusions in that report regarding the FBI's management of, handling of mislabeling everybody, you know, as a terrorist, as a threat. And then there is Karula versus Garland. I don't know if you know about this case. It's really, really interesting. Karula is the mayor of Prospect Park, New Jersey. He has been mayor for 18 years. And just last year, he was denied entry to the White House for a ceremonial that the White House had for Muslims, Muslim Americans. And he was denied entrance by the Secret Service. He was placed in a watch list, which is handling codes 1 and 2, from 2019 to 2022. Then he was removed from the watch list, but it seems he was left as part of the terror screening database and not told. So in this lawsuit, they have grouped like 18 plaintiffs from different states, including Michigan. They filed it in Massachusetts, and they are challenging the legality on due process grounds of the terror screening database. They call it the data set because the FBI now renamed it the data set, and it is, in my opinion, to curtail, to limit when in due time they have to produce the information contained in this document. Well, they don't want to give all the information that is in the database. Rather, they're probably just hand out data sets from that database. And it is our contention that if you have been erroneously and illegally and secretly placed on that database, you have a right to see everything that is in there, because they know you are not a law enforcement interest. In fact, they call the people in this 97% of handling codes 3 and 4 as non-investigative subjects. That is a term coined by the FBI. So I'm sorry, it was so long, but No.
This is wonderful. This is wonderful.
And particularly patriots to know that this is a tool that is mostly being used against conservative Americans, against people that believe in the family, that people that don't believe in this, gender dysphoria until after you turn 18. No, I am a mother, and I believe that, at the very least, children should not be allowed to do anything with their bodies until they are turn 18, at least. In Puerto Rico, that would be age 21, right? And so if you cannot drink before age 21, how is it possible that children are allowed to do, sex changes, for example? So people that are conservatives and that are against campaigns and these narratives that are going on to destroy our nation, they are more likely to become targeted if their voice catches on, if people start listening to them. And that's why, we should all be very vigilant with what we share online and also with our electronic devices. I was being hacked for a long time, and I didn't realize that the heat under my laptop, excessive heat, was due to the fact that they were hacking my computer. And the same with the phone. So there are things that you, precautions you can take, but once you're on this program, it's, DARPA, NSA, InfraGuard, everybody doing surveillance and hacking on you.
So how can one get off of this terrorist list? How can one find out whether one is on it? And is that something everyone needs to know?
Well, that's exactly what we are struggling with in TJD Garland. We are pending. We want to do the briefing. It's over. Now we're waiting to get a notice of oral argument. I urge everybody they can go to our Rumble channel. It's called Real Targeted Justice. And in there, we explain, for example, one of our prayers for relief, other than going back to the district court, is to allow us to inspect handling codes 3 and 4 to verify the names of the people that not just by plaintiffs, but I have filled out over 2,000 people filled out a confidential form with me that I said, if you think you are a targeted individual, please allow me to check for your name in the terrorist screening database if and when the court allows us to do this. And, I know we're probably going to end up in the Supreme Court. And what I really urge people is to share this content, because maybe you are not targeted, but your best friend is, and they don't know it. One of the things that, I'm not a doctor, but one of my theories, for example, there's an increment in the diagnosis of fibromyalgia. And I don't know if you're familiar with that illness, but doctors say, we don't know where it comes from. And I have my plausible explanation for it is that you're being microwaved at night, because these patients wake up and for like 45 minutes, they have intense pain in their bodies. But then as they warm up their bodies, it goes away. And it's because also as you're moving around, it's harder for them to microwave you. But when you're lying down, it's easy to do. It takes like 3 minutes to do the 3D pattern and then target you specifically. All the technology that I'm talking about, I'm not an engineer, but Mr. Lighthouse, who is, he has a master's in mechanical engineering from Stanford. He has been the one that has figured out the technology. And I urge people, particularly those that are hearing voices and are too scared to tell somebody, to go into our technology tab in targetedjustice.com and read the technology that is being used on everybody, as well as the tips, for shielding. We shield with water. I'm not wearing it right now, but I always have a water bag in front of my heart because they attack your heart and they attack your head. And you really, when you sleep, targeted individuals should shield with water bags.
Anna, this is just staggering. And the dimensions of the program are just horrific. I mean, it boggles the mind.
Well, Jim, I wanted to show you. I don't have it here, but I think I showed it with we have our, I think it's February 3rd newsletter in Substack. It's the megaphone test to, it's a very rudimentary way to detect if you have been implanted, because a lot of targeted individuals and vaccinated people now appear to have non-consensual implants in their bodies. And so the megaphone is just a very, you can see the video, in our Substack newsletter. It has a video of the megaphone in my head, because I have been implanted from the top of my head to the tip of my toes with artifacts to control my behavior, to control my organs, and even my vision, and to hear what I hear and hear what I speak. I think I have successfully disabled some of them. I even have behind my ears non-consensual implants, because I can hear it going. I can hear it like a microprocessor.
Listen to Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. We'll be right back after this message.
Megaphone detects the noise that is broadcasting an electromagnetic frequency, because that's what megaphone does, right? So I can tell you I am here because of the grace of God.
Management would like to take a moment to thank the listeners and hosts for all their support that has made Revolution Radio one of the biggest platforms for free speech in an ever-growing dark world of censorship. Unfortunately, this platform for free speech has never been free. We need the support of people. It is the people like you, yes, you, that keeps the station in the front lines of the battle against tyranny and oppression. Please help support Revolution Radio so free speech will not be silenced in a world that seems to be going deaf to the real truth. With your support, we will be able to become an even bigger pillar of light in the dark.
And I feel exactly the same way.
Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, the number one listener-supported radio station on the planet. Revolution
Radio. 957-8727, and if I can get it, you in. You're fine. You'll be speak in Toledo. Rather critical issues. I need quite really wonderful. So the break is taking place. Yeah, the break is taking place, although we can't hear it, so...
Okay, well, they can hear us?
Yes, yes.
Okay, join Revolution Radio every Wednesday,
so
8 p.m.
Eastern
Time.
3 or 4 minutes, I'll just make an estimate.
For Momentary Zen, with host Zen Garcia at freedomslips.com, the People Station.
Even the government admits that 9/11 was a conspiracy. But did you know that it was an inside job? That Osama had nothing to do with it? That the Twin Towers were blown apart by a sophisticated arrangement of mini or micro nukes? That Building 7 collapsed 7 hours later because of explosives planted in the building? Barry Jennings was there. He heard them go off and felt himself stepping over dead people. The U.S. Geological Survey conducted studies of dust gathered from 35 locations in Lower Manhattan and found elements that would not have been there had this not been a nuclear event. Ironically, that means the government's own evidence contradicts the government's official position. 9/11 was brought to us compliments of the CIA, the neocons of the Department of Defense, and the Mossad. Don't let yourself be played. Read America Nuked on 9/11. Available at moonrockbooks.com. That's moonrockbooks.com.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
We do have a caller here from the 816 area code. I believe this is Brian in Kansas City. Brian, is the commercial still running? The break still running?
No, it's gone now. Yeah, I can tell her how to get rid of those implants. I know all about that because I got attacked like 10 years ago.
I'm wondering if I'm going to be able to hear Brian or Brian hear me.
I'm sorry.
I'm sure they're hacking it so much.
It is.
I'm used to it. I hope, but you're recording.
So oh, yeah. Be able to- Oh, yeah. We got the show.
Yeah.
Brian, if you're there, area code 816, please join
here.
The conversation. Give us your first name and your state.
Brian in Kansas City.
Brian, are you there?
Yeah. You can't hear me? Hello?
Yeah, 816 left, but 408 is joined, if I'm not mistaken. Paul, are you with us?
Yeah. Can you hear me? I can hear you.
816 is back.
Yeah, can you hear me now?
I'm not able to hear either of them. This is very, very odd.
You can't hear me, huh?
Hello?
Because you know what? The government criminals don't want people's questions answered. They don't want people to know about this. And this is why this is such an important show.
Wow.
Can they text you? Yeah. Can they text you?
Yeah, go ahead. Okay, here we go. We got somebody here.
Okay.
Brian.
Yeah. Did they cut it off again?
Yeah, keep going. Just speak. Go ahead and speak. Yeah, we're not quite sure where things are.
I can tell her how to get rid of those implants. I've done it. I got attacked 10 years ago.
Stop screen sharing. It stopped. Maybe that's what it is. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm going to try to get rid of it. Brian, can you hear me? Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I hear you fine now, Jim. Now, Jim.
Okay, go ahead and give us your thoughts. We got problems on this end, but that's all right. Go ahead.
Yeah, I got attacked like 10 years ago so severely that it put me in the hospital with a $17,000 doctor bill. So I know exactly what she's talking about, and I know how to get rid of those implants. I don't have a problem with it whatsoever now because I know what to do. If she called me, I could explain it because it's pretty detailed, but it's something she could do, and then it would eliminate the problem.
Well, listen, we also got 408 here. Paul, is that you? Join the conversation as well.
Yeah, I spoke earlier, but you didn't hear me. Can you hear me now?
Yes, we can hear you now. Yeah.
Okay.
Go ahead.
So here's a particular question that I had. So I listened off and on to the show, I would say probably, I don't know, a little bit more on than off, and I caught quite a bit. But the last, right before the break, what your guest said, I have, you know, I got some questions about. So she said, more or less, I have been implanted from head to toe with all kinds of devices, okay, to do all kinds of things, including hearing what I hear, seeing what I see, and so on and so forth. Correct? You said something like that, right?
That is correct.
Okay, so here would be my question.
Oh, I get that. Go on.
Okay. Okay, so here would be my question. How is that done? Okay, in other words, this is a surgical implant? How do they get it into your system?
I had legitimate surgeries, and all the surgeons betrayed me, and also my gynecologist betrayed me, and also my dentist betrayed me. So all the medical professionals were either blackmailed or were bought. And so some were elective surgeries. Other I thought were mandatory. For example, I got supposedly a gallbladder attack, but it was really, now in hindsight, I know I was being microwaved because the sonogram that they showed me after the surgery said I only had a little sand. I didn't have any stones. And that's when I believe a lot of the stuff, you can look at my implants in targetedjustice.com. You go medical and you go in the implant tab and you'll see Anna's implants there. And you'll see I have a plethora of things there. I have in my chest, in front of my heart, the ones in my head. In my face looks like an African mask because they put these probes in there to make it itch. So when I would go out in the street, it would erupt in itching. Okay. It's a form of torture. So, yes. But I tell you, there's some people that are implanted and they don't know how they got implanted.
Okay, yeah. I find that difficult to believe. In other words, so you had face surgery? I mean, you say plethora.
I had many surgeries since 2005 that I have been implanted. I'm not going to go into it.
Paul.
I had legitimate surgery, and I have evidence of x-rays, MRIs, and CT scans.
Anna, when you say you had surgeries, you mean that, say, while you were unconscious, that these implants were performed on you? Is that roughly what you mean?
Exactly. I was under the effect of anesthesia.
And Brian, go ahead and say you understand this. Paul doesn't. Go ahead, Brian.
Paul, think about all the doctors that were on board for the COVID shot that, you know, all over the world, okay, they were on board. It's the same group, okay?
No, that's not a good analogy.
It is a perfect analogy. It's the world we live in.
Brian, sorry. I got to tell you right now. Okay, look, this is a different thing. In other words, you're talking about basically a conspiracy between all these people that allegedly did surgery on her, and they basically went on board to do something, somebody else's agenda. In other words, you won't convince me that any of these doctors that she happened to see, that she trusted, that they had their own agenda to put some device inside of her. So they had to be doing it on somebody else's instructions. And to get me to believe, or anybody to believe, that all these people in cohort, right, put these devices in her is crazy. It's got nothing to do with COVID, because COVID, you're just talking about mass stupidity. They already believed in the virus. They're putting shots in people. They don't know what's in the shots. And it's just something that was done to millions upon millions of people. And it's not a good analogy for this targeted individual and implanting people during surgery. I don't see that as a valid analogy. Jim may disagree or agree. I don't know.
I totally agree. I know what she's talking about. Having been a victim of it, I know precisely what she's talking about.
What are you a victim of? What have you been a victim of? I don't understand.
Well, they did the same thing to me, and I ended up in the hospital, and I ended up with a $17,000 doctor bill, and I could hear voices in my head and the whole nine yards, and I managed to get myself out of it. But you heard me talk about the species called Sia Carr, and
they incarnate in the physical on the planet as doctors. They love to be doctors, and they're everywhere. Okay, they're the ones when someone like Martin Luther King or JFK is assassinated, they get into the hospitals. You know, they're a pretty large group of beings that are on this planet. But I know, Paul, it seems impossible to believe, but that's what you're dealing with. When I had this happen to me, I could see that Sia Carr next to my hospital bed checking on me, and I knew exactly what he was. You know, I can kind of see in the other dimensions. And they look humanoid with bat-like wings in the higher dimensions.
All right,
so,
okay. All right, this is just getting too much. All right, so
Jim?
Yeah. Okay, but
that's I'm not trying to interrupt
absurd.
You.
Absurd. When you said...
paid for these surgeries, and these were legitimate surgeries in legitimate hospitals with legitimate doctors that should have taken away, and they're not, and they're sealed. And let me just address what you think, you're asking. I think some of them in Puerto Rico, okay, which is the land of corruption, people are used to, the medical insurance doesn't pay very well, so they have to supplement their income with something. And I think that one of the reasons they do this is because of pure greed for money. And then it just takes one first time to do it, and then you get blackmailed. You get blackmailed. If you don't continue doing it, I'm going to tell on you. OK, so that's what I think, you know, how it happened. It was very sad to me that doctors that I trusted my life to did this to me. But now, you know, it's not that I am grateful, but I am very happy to be undertaking this mission, because now I have a purpose, a really meaningful purpose in my life, which is not only exposing this atrocious program, but also helping 6 million people be free from torture and from the degradation of their bodies that is being carried out by the American government under this special access project that has to be defunded by Congress.
Anna, when you talk about these surgeries, were those to remove these devices?
No, they put them in.
Oh, God. I had my son, and I had gained a lot of weight. Then I went in the gym, and I lost 70 pounds, okay? So I did a tummy tuck because I was very thin, but I had all this skin. So that's just one of these surgeries. And that provides the arena to get implanted. I didn't know any of this. My hips would fall out of place, and the chiropractor, very honest fashion, told me, oh, that's because you lost so much weight that your hip falls out of place. But I was in really good shape, you know, because I was exercising, and I was in my perfect weight and everything. But my hip would keep on falling out of place, and it's because you can see in my x-ray the shiny implant in my hip. So then I had... breast surgery, and then I have a belt. You can look at it in my implants and my images. I have what looks like a belt going around my torso, and a rectangle here, and a round thing in front, and a round artifact in front of my heart. So it's a lot of artifacts that, to the plain, even non-radiologist can see them. And they were implanted. Then I had a gallbladder surgery. I had a lumpectomy done.
Wow, you've had more than your share of medical maladies, Anna. Wow. Brian. Yeah.
Most of them were. One of the doctors told me, you know, that cancer convinced me, and he was in on it. So it was his way of telling me, you never really had cancer, even though I underwent 6 weeks of radiotherapy.
Wow.
And the same with the gallbladder. I wasn't sick in the gallbladder. I ate very healthy. I had no reason to have a gallbladder surgery. So I was put in the operating room. And this is what's very interesting. The time I had the gallbladder surgery, one of the nurses, the head nurse of the OR, told me, you must be a very important person, because they gave you the open heart surgery operating room. They don't give that for gallbladder surgeries. Well, you know, that's because I think that's what we
have,
you know, brain.
So, yeah, a lot of this, everything happened. I am not alleging anything a paranormal. No, this was done by doctors to whom either my medical insurance or me.
We have another caller joining from 608 area code. Please do join the conversation.
Hola, señor Fetzer y Ana. Que buenísima este programa. I just need to use my Spanish, otherwise, if you don't use it, you lose it. That's right. And what a great program. You're spot on. I came into the program late working on another project, and I wish I would have arrived earlier. But what a great program. And there are many accounts of what you are speaking of. Obviously, you must have already gone over the Havana fiasco. And we have multiple accounts of people being animals. They did research on animals of all sorts, types of plants and everything. And the resonance and reaction to the electromagnetic spectrum. And anyone who doubts that can easily look it up. My question to you is, why do you think I arrived late, but why do you think that they sought you out specifically and continue to do so? The continuing aspect is what, I mean, you can find any sort of malevolent slug in the ground to do something malevolent to people, and probably they wouldn't even have to be paid much. But I missed that part. And yeah, go ahead.
That would be part of my question too. So go ahead. Yeah, I would like to know why you, if this is true.
I didn't cover it here with Jim, but thanks for the question, because yeah, I'm a genuinely, and it's not, you know, I'm tooting my horn, but I'm a genuinely good person, and I have always been concerned for the underdog. And that is why after I completed a master's of environmental law at Vermont Law School, I went back to my beloved island of Puerto Rico to fight against environmental abuses. And I particularly took on the plight of environmental justice communities in the coast, in the north coast of Puerto Rico, in the town of Barceloneta. There are three communities that for 30 years lived under an atrocious stench that I didn't even know existed. And it came from what is called the Barceloneta Wastewater Treatment Plant that was owned by a consortium of pharmaceutical companies, including Bristol-Myers Squibb, Merck, Sharp & Dohme, Abbott Pharmaceuticals, and many others. So I filed a class action lawsuit along another attorney in Puerto Rico on behalf of over 3,000 residents of those three communities in that North Shore because of the nuisance. And so at the moment I started investigating that lawsuit in 1996, I got targeted. But then when I filed the lawsuit in 1999, that's when I was, you know, officially, and I was on category four for many years. But I continued my fights. You know, I fought against an AT&T tower. I fought against, you know, I did a lot of advocacy for disenfranchised communities. So, of course, those disenfranchised communities are going against powerful oligarchs and powerful corporations, and they continued adding enemies to the list. They continued adding people that would put in the money. So that's how it happened. But I am a proud whistleblower. I am a proud advocate for the underdog.
So essentially, the squeaky wheel doesn't get the grease. The squeaky wheel gets the hammer, is what you're saying. And when you go up against powerful influences, I mean, beyond powerful, some of them have greater GDPs or gross incomes than certain GDPs of countries. So that's like a farmer going up against Monsanto, essentially. So, I much respect to you, Anna. That is great that you do it. And it must be a passion of love. And I'll get off the line, but I'm absolutely enthralled with this interview. It's fantastic programming. And I have your website pulled up, and I will thoroughly go through it. It's great. Good. Carry on and screw the rest of them, really.
Thanks for the call, Reagan. Thanks for the call.
You bet. So, Jim, let me just come back.
We put out information that is not just individuals. If you allow me, I wanted to show the megaphone thing. You know, that this does not make noise unless there is an electromagnetic frequency coming out of it. And I wanted to show you. All of this is my okay. So this is a very simple and very cheap way that people can scan if they have artifacts in their body.
Okay, but let me just get back in here for a quick second.
We got the screen back up that we can't hear Brian or Paul or Brian, can you hear us? Or can you
I can hear you fine.
I can hear as well. Can you hear?
You've covered a lot of
stuff. We got a summary. I got more issues to raise here.
Tell us about targeted justice again, and you know.
Targeted justice is not just for targeted individuals, but we are fighting for the freedom of all Americans and all innocent people around the world that are illegally targeted. And the time has come for Congress. The weaponization, this is what's really interesting. Jim Jordan investigated the weaponization of the government, but they don't want to touch with a 10-foot pole the real weaponization that is going on by the government agencies, specifically the FBI and the DHS, against innocent Americans that dare to think differently, dare to fight for their beliefs. And that includes everybody that is, a freedom-loving patriot. So I urge you all to look into this. Subscribe. It's free. You know, you can have a paid subscription, but it's free. And, in Targeted Justice Substack newsletter, because we will maintain you all up to date, and particularly because by sharing our content, you will raise awareness in the American public that this is happening. My heart goes out, Jim. I have one targeted individual. She's a 100-year-old lady that she gets attacked with microwaves in her retirement community.
Oh, come on.
To spend
That's
the last
absurd.
Year, well, not any day of your life, but let alone the last.
You're going to attack a 100-year-old individual.
You know, a child should not be subjected to telling a person, one of the persons I know, Missy, my toys talk to me. This is plain torture. Atrocious dreams are being implanted in children, in women. Atrocious physical abuse is done remotely through the use of directed energy weapons. And it's got to stop. Somebody in Congress has got to listen. You know, the 702 FISA abuse, it's all about spying on innocent Americans that have been illegally placed on this terrorist screening database. So I urge you all to get involved, because it's not just about them. No, tomorrow it could be you for saying what somebody deemed the wrong thing, or for divorcing the wrong guy, or for crossing the wrong business partner who has the right connections.
Very, very disturbing stuff, and I can't begin to tell you. Disconcerting in the extreme.
It's not to do fear mongering. It's to take action. I think we are at the time, at the right time to stop this. This was going to be rolled out to the entire population, along with subliminal messaging, is a mechanism to control the way people think. You know, the social credit score, that's
not working.
Out. And so if we, stomp our feet and say, no, I am for freedom. You're not going to determine what I can think and what I can say. We are on the right track, but we need people to read about this and know about it, because you know why they were able to do so much on me? It's because I didn't even know the targeted individuals existed. Really atrocious things happened to me. And I was in La La Land because I never thought it's possible that in the land of free, there could be so many slaves.
Yes, yes, yes. Very well said. Very well said. Tell us where people can get information about targeted justice, all your efforts and activities, obviously they're very broad, sprawling. I wish you well with all these efforts, Anna. Fascinating. Tell us where we can learn more about targeted.
You can find us at targetedjustice.substack.com and our website, which is targetedjustice.com. I really urge you, particularly, you know, going to the newsletter because they're very short and very informative. And Jim, I just want you to, you know, assure all the targeted individuals out there that I am not going to give up this fight until we shut down the weapons. I am going to fight, you know, I will give my life. I don't care because for me, like I said, like give me liberty or give me death. And I will not, targeted justice is not going to stop. And I am not going to stop this fight until the second class that has been imposed on targeted individuals comes to an end.
How can individuals your newsletter then, Anna, that it's a free subscription?
Yes, substack.com, search for targeted justice. And we also have, and I really urge you to look it up, in Rumble, we have a channel that's called Real Targeted Justice. And in there, we have many interviews and there's particularly one that is very valuable for the new. We have Dr. Mitchell talking about reality.
Join me in the Brian Ruse Show on Revolution Radio, Eastern Standard Time, every Tuesday night from 6 to 8. We talk about the four most vital things in my view that affect all of humanity. Number one is UFOs and aliens.
97% of the terrorist screening database.
Number two is the Jewish establishment's control over all aspects of human civilization. Number three, the truth about Adolf Hitler, how he was the opposite of what we've been told. Number four is advanced ancient global civilization. Streaming on the Brian Ruse Show, Tuesday nights from 6 to 8 on Studio B on Revolution Radio.
One thing that we want to focus in the near future is that psychiatrists are misdiagnosing people that hear the microwave auditory effect as psychotic and schizophrenic. And in my opinion, attorney, I say that is practice
here on Revolution Radio.
Have to get up to speed with the technology that is being used. You know, the military grade technology that is being used against innocent Americans, because they might become liable with it.
Anna Toledo, thank you so much, and I wish you great success and targeted justice. Everyone out there, I just say again, spend all the time you can with your family, your friends, and people you love and care about, because we do not know how much time we have left.
Hello, my name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically atomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and confusion.